Welcome to Grace Baptist Church, our ministry now online on YouTube, our website. I just pray that you folks are taking advantage of that, listening to these messages from the Word of God. We go now into our portion of the ministry referred to as Sunday School. Today, we want to look at the saints. The saints. The word saints appears numerous times in the Holy Scriptures, not something foreign to the Scriptures. The King James Version translates two Hebrew words as saints 31 times, one of those words 19 times, and the other word 12 times. Saints. And of course, we're referring to, when we say Hebrew, the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the King James Version translates a single Greek word 61 times as saints. The Hebrew words we refer to today from the Old Testament mean holy, godly, sacred. The lone Greek word that we view today, translated saints, means sacred, pure, holy, and consecrated. All of these words, every one of them, directly or by implication, carry the reality of separateness, being separate, which includes being separated away from and separated unto or for. For instance, separated away from evil, separated unto God, for God. As with all things dealing with the one true God and things truly spiritual, this present evil age and its affiliated so-called religion, in quotes, has distorted and completely lost, folks, completely lost any semblance of what a true saint is. Emphasis on the word is, what a true saint is. Many may try to act like what they think a true saint should be like. But folks, you cannot portray that part as in a play on the stage of life. You can't do it. You must actually be a saint. You must actually be a saint. And the truth concerning actually being a saint is that God, in being a saint truly, is that God must create you anew, inwardly, spiritually, not outwardly or physically, as far as appearance is concerned. God will call his elect effectually, spiritually, by the Holy Spirit, creating them anew as saints. God sets them apart for himself, and is making them holy, pure, sacred, consecrated to him alone. In Paul's salutations, his greetings and letters to the saints in Rome and Corinth, he addresses them in this way. Listen up, listen up. It's very, very, very important. Romans 1:7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God. All, not everybody without exception, but all God's beloved saints. Very clear, right there in front of us. Now, I want to make a note of the King James Version and most other versions as well. They have in the text called to be inserted, saints. That changes, folks. That changes the whole language of that text in its original form. The word called there is an adjective. It's a descriptive word. It describes something. They've changed it into an action word, a verb. And I'm set against that. The called saint, now listen to me, the called saint tells us what kind of saint you are. That's the important point here. A called saint describes what kind of saint you are. You are one of the called of Romans chapter 8, which makes you foreknown by God, predestinated by God, justified by God, and glorified by God, being conformed into the image of God the Son in the eternal purpose of God. Being a called saint is all important. Not called to be a saint, but being a called saint is all important, because that's who God makes you. As a called saint, your eternal sainthood in the eternal purpose of God has been manifested in time. You are a saint. Just like Paul states in another letter, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of God into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Same likeness here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes, now listen up, to the church of God, being in Corinth, having been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Again, to correct those who would insert to be, we have an adjective. The same thing as we had there in Romans chapter 1, called saints. Another group in this reference to 1 Corinthians, another group of called saints is addressed at Corinth. This group is a congregation, a church of called out ones. And note, this congregation, as are all true congregations of God, has been sanctified. Now that's another Greek word closely related to our word today, saints. This congregation and the individuals in it are set apart by God, for God, to be made holy in their real life experience day by day. And notice, this sanctification, this being set apart, is in Christ Jesus. As a saint, we are set apart spiritually, united to Christ. Our souls in Him, our souls in Christ, Christ's Spirit in us. Saints. Now, the Catholic Church is known for promoting a special group of Christians reaching the level of so-called sainthood, a level of holiness that is only for a comparably small number of true Christians. Now, that view may not be held by all Catholics, but it is a prominent view in that particular religion. Again, in quotes, that particular religion. Nonetheless, no matter what we see there from the Catholic Church, the Holy Scriptures are clear. Paul refers to the Church of God as saints, just as we read, and in at least six of his letters, recorded in Scripture and recorded as Scripture, he addresses the folks as saints in at least six of his letters. That's the way he begins. He addresses them as saints. In 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 33, he mentions this. This is so specific, you can't miss it. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. All churches of the saints. Now, did you get that? All. Not a few. All churches of the saints. Brothers and sisters, this is not hard. This is really pretty simple. The church, the bride of Christ, his spiritual body, is comprised of nothing but saints set apart for him. We know that Christ commanded Christians everywhere to love one another as he loves us. We see this commandment fulfilled in Colossians 1:4 as Paul recognizes, as it states, the faith and love of these Christians for one another. Paul says, "We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints." All the saints, not just some super group of venerated human beings in the eyes of humanity. And folks, that's what we have with this so-called sainthood in the Catholic Church. As Paul said of himself, listen to Paul speaking about himself, Ephesians 3:8. "I am less than the least of all saints." Folks, everyone who's a true Christian is a saint. Matthew chapter 25 speaks of those who will be given the kingdom of God. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25 now to whet our palates and satisfy our appetites when it comes to learning more from the Word of God. "When the Son of Man, the Son of Humanity, comes in His glory," none other than Jesus Christ, "and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say," Christ Jesus the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. An everlasting kingdom, always the kingdom and the purpose of God." This is the fulfillment, what he just said there. This is so wonderful. This is the fulfillment of what Daniel summed up in Daniel 7:27. We just spoke of that kingdom prepared for God's people. Daniel 7:27, "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him." The kingdom of God set apart, folks, for the saints of the Most High, even God. All Christ's sheep, all God's people, the saints of the Most High, will be given that very kingdom. The rest of humanity that has ever existed will be cast into outer darkness, into everlasting punishment. And for those of you who reject Christ, this really means nothing to you, and you have no respect for God and His Word. Now, that's just the truth. But at that last day, which we speak of there, where Christ separates the sheep from the goats, it will mean everything, and you won't be ready for that. Only those, how do we become ready for that? Only those who have part in the new covenant will be finally saved. These are the saints of God, as God says in Psalm 50, verse 5. This is critical to the message. Please listen closely. Only the saints of God, as God says in Romans 55, will be finally saved. Gather my saints together to me, says God, unto me. Those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, folks, he's not talking about animal sacrifice there. He's looking forward. The only covenant which fulfills the sacrifice that God accepts, the one acceptable to God, and is applied only to the saints. Only to the saints is the new covenant. The letter to the Hebrews gives a full testimony as to that very truth. Now, I'm going to do another one of my narratives. You need to listen. Please don't try to follow this. I'm skipping through chapters 7, 8, and 9 of the book of Hebrews. If you want to go back and read those chapters, please do so. I would encourage you to do that. Beginning in chapter 7, deep into that chapter, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Again, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. But now, Christ, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, the creation here on earth. Not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all at one time, having obtained eternal redemption. Just took one time for the perfect Son of God to do that. He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. Christ died. Christ sacrificed himself. But now, once, what an important word. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared, Christ Jesus, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, by the sacrifice of himself. Folks, the new covenant. Once again, as we just read from Psalm 50, verse 5, gather my saints together unto me. Gather my saints together unto me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We enter into that covenant as the saints of God, into that new covenant who sacrificed, which sacrificed the Lord Jesus Christ for the saints. Long story made short. If you are a true Christian, you are a saint for whom Christ was sacrificed. Now we want to spend some time looking at a short list. We could exhaust it. We're not going to do that. A short list of characteristics viewed in the lives of God's elect according to the Scripture. God's saints according to the Scripture. Psalm 31, verse 23. The most important one concerning the saints. Oh, love the Lord. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. Above all, the saints love God. A love given to them by God Himself. Because they love Him, the saints have a reverential fear of the Almighty God who has made them saints. Psalm 34 says this, O fear the Lord, you His saints. No lack to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. A physical analogy given to you there. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good. We enter the spiritual realm. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Now again, note. Make a special note right here. The saints need to be thinking of spiritual things, not earthly things. The Lord God goes on in Psalm 34, keep your tongue from evil, speaking to the saints. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So speaks the Lord to His saints. A question I need to ask myself. I'm asking you as well. Does this describe us in our real lives, day by day? Not just on Sunday. Maybe some of you Wednesday and Sunday. But do these things describe you and I day by day? Psalm 148, verse 14, speaks of the praise of all the saints, a people near to Him. Now, near to Him. Folks, that speaks of an intimately close relationship of love with the Lord and brings forth praise of the glory of His grace. Grace from His saints given to His saints. The praise of the glory of that grace from His saints. I would again suggest another place you might want to read. I'm not going to be quoting from that right now. But read Ephesians chapter 1 if you want to look at the praise of the glory of His grace. This is what we do as the saints of God. Romans chapter 16 verse 2 speaks of our relationship one with another. As far as saints are considered. We, collectively, individually, we as saints are to accept, we are to receive one another in the Lord as united to Christ in a manner worthy of the saints, assisting each other in whatever matter they may have need from us. Do we have brethren? Do we have brothers and sisters who may have need from you and I? Well, folks, that is a time that we have to obey Scripture, and I'm speaking to me. We need to deny ourselves of personal conveniences at times and assist others where we are able. God will give you opportunity, and He'll make you able. In such matters, we must be willing from the heart to help one another. And again, folks, you can't fake that. You can't go through the motions there. God won't receive that. It's got to be done from the heart because you love one another. The only thing I can say there, because I know myself, may God help us. May God help us to be heartfelt saints. Going on and looking at these characteristics of the saints, some short spots here. True saints are faithful. Colossians 1:2. Ephesians 6:18. True saints pray for one another. Here's a wonderful scripture taken from Philemon, verse 7, has just one chapter. True saints refresh one another by comforting each other and loving one another. We are to be focused as saints with our fellow saints in comforting them and loving them. Herein, when it says refresh, that word means to enter into rest. Herein, when we are comforting and loving one another, herein we find on both sides, both the giver and the receiver, rest for our souls. That is the refreshing that God speaks of here. Now, I should have begun the message. I did not. I blew it. By telling you that you better be listening to this all the way through, because we are going to look at some scripture as we close that, to put it in today's terminology, is going to blow you away, except you have a heart of stone. I did not understand this scripture we're going to deal with, again, as we close, like I would have liked to earlier in my life. And let me tell you, I only came to understand it this past Thursday, just a couple days ago. Now, you may have perceived this in the past. You just had the Lord God in His good pleasure to show you, but He's finally showed me. But some of you who may not have seen this, I tell you, we really need to thank God for showing us this today. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says this. I don't know, what are your thoughts here? Think about it. 1 Corinthians 6:2 records this. As testified by Paul the apostle, as led by the Spirit of Christ, do you not know that the saints will judge the whole world? Now, I've been puzzled by that my entire Christian life. I guess I should have spent much more time trying to study it out. But God just flat out showed it to me when I wasn't even trying to look for it necessarily. We begin in Psalm 149. Psalm 149, I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses there, verses 5 through 9. Psalm 149, verses 5 through 9. Please listen. If you haven't listened to anything yet, as I say often, please listen to this final portion. Beginning at verse 5, Psalm 149. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let the saints sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. praises of God in the mouths of his saints, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Folks, listen to that very, very closely. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. Now, did you hear that? That's part of judgment, folks, and we're going to see that clearly in this context. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Did you hear that? Praise the Lord. Now, again, I'm going to do a narrative from the Revelation, so listen up. If you must go back and read it, read Revelation chapter 19. But listen right now. Just listen. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 11, but again, I'm going to be skipping around. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Do you hear that? In righteousness Christ makes war. His eyes like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Of course, this could be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen. Are you listening? And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Folks, that's none other than the saints. Than the saints. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Are you listening? Are you listening? Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. A sword striking the nations. What was put in the hand over there in Psalm 149? We're going to go back to that of his saints. A sword. Now going on further down in chapter 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Christ, who sat on the horse, and against his army, making war against the saints. Thanks be to God for Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against the saints shall prosper. Folks, we're going to win this one. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now listen up. Please listen. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on his horse, on the horse. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. Out of his mouth, this sword, folks, goes into the hands of the saints. Are you listening to me? Back to Psalm 149. And a two-edged sword in their hand. Folks, the sword of the Spirit. The Word of Christ. Out of the mouth of Christ into the possession of the saints. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Praise the Lord. Amen.